Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for In the News and American Stories, coming up after As It Is.
Hello, and welcome to As It Is from VOA Learning English. I'm Christopher Cruz in Washington. Today on the program, we will tell you about and listen to different kinds of American music. We will report on the growing popularity of mariachi music. Then, we will tell you how some Americans used music to support and then fight an amendment to the United States Constitution.
There are people who stop drinking alcohol. About one in five Americans take a temperance pledge, that is, an anti-drinking pledge.
More listeners to mariachi music, and how music played a part in an American constitutional debate. Those are our subjects today on As It Is. Mariachi music has been popular among Mexican Americans in the United States for more than a century. It is especially popular in Texas and other states along the border with Mexico. There are now mariachi groups in all parts of the U.S. and in some European and Asian nations. Mariachi music has long been popular with the large Mexican-American population in San Antonio, Texas. Among the young performers at a recent event was 12-year-old Anani Reims. She is not of Mexican ancestry. She is an African-American. She says she fell in love with the songs she heard in Mexican restaurants and on local radio stations. Concert producer Cynthia Munoz says Anani Reims shows the appeal of mariachi music.
She feels this very strong connection and love for the music, and it sends a very powerful message to our entire community that this music is truly international.
Singer William Carlton Wayne Galvez is an example of the ethnic mix of mariachi music. He describes himself as one-third Mexican, one-third Anglo, and one-third African-American. He says the music represents it all.
It's a combination of everything. I believe it's the melting pot of the world and music-wise.
Singers are at the center of mariachi concerts. Guitars, violins, and horns are among the instruments that create the mariachi sound. Texas public schools and state colleges have programs that provide training and a chance to perform in public. The U.S. Congress approved the 21st Amendment to the Constitution more than 80 years ago. The amendment canceled an earlier ban on the production and sale of alcohol in the country. It also marked the end of a political struggle that lasted more than 100 years. The struggle had been argued, in part, through music. Many issues captured the attention of Americans in the years between the War for Independence in the late 1700s and the Civil War in the 1860s. They included the separation of state and religion, and U.S. relations with France and England. While those and other issues came and went, the battle over one subject never stopped. That subject was alcohol.
For there's rum and gin and beer
and wine
and brandy of logwood hue
and hock
and pork
and flip
combined
to make
a
man look
blue.
He says, be merry,
for here's good sherry
and Tom
and Jerry,
champagne and Perry
and spirits of every hue.
The war against alcohol in the U.S. started in the early 1800s. Before then, Americans had been heavy drinkers. Scott Gack is a professor at Trinity College in Hartford, Connecticut. He wrote a book about reform in the 19th century. He says that in the 1820s and 1830s, American religious leaders began saying that God wanted people to take better care of themselves.
So they start eating differently. There are people who actually become some of the first vegetarians in the United States. There are people who stop drinking alcohol. About one in five Americans take a temperance pledge, that is an anti-drinking pledge. The breadwinner in the family was going out, spending what little money he had, and thus creating poverty for his family. So his wife had to work, his kids had to go out and beg on the street. So drunkenness was eating at the core of American families.
Christian leaders were largely responsible for what became known as the temperance movement. As a result, many of the movement's songs were based on popular Christian hymns. People sang these songs at meetings of groups like the Women's Christian Temperance Union. By 1900, more than half of the American states had gone dry. In other words, they restricted or even banned the sale of alcohol. Many other people opposed the restrictions. They also expressed themselves in song.
King Rameses went to pieces 7,000 years ago and passed a law that Egypt must go dry. He took the liquors from the slickers all the way to Jericho, but kept his little toddy on the sly. The desert of Sahara flows with honey, so they say.
Soon after World War I, temperance supporters had enough votes in Congress to approve a nationwide ban on alcohol. The 18th Amendment to the Constitution banned the manufacture, sale, or transportation of intoxicating liquors. But the Constitution still protected people's right to argue that the prohibition of alcohol was a bad idea, and they did. The ban on alcohol lasted 13 years. By 1933, the anti-alcohol forces admitted defeat. Congress canceled the 18th Amendment, and alcohol flowed freely again in the United States. And that, too, was cause for song.
Prohibition is a failure, most anyone can see. For whiskey sold in every town in the good old USA.
And that's our program for today. I'm Christopher Cruz. Thank you for joining me today on As It Is, on The Voice of America.
In the News is next, followed by American Stories. You can read and listen to our programs and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English.
From VOA Learning English, This is In the News. The word mess can be used to describe something complex or very difficult to deal with. A former United States official used the word last weekend when she spoke about recent world events. To put it mildly, Madeleine Albright said, "The world is a mess." Ms. Albright was the first woman to serve as Secretary of State. She served as the country's top diplomat during the presidency of Bill Clinton. Ms. Albright appeared on the CBS News program Face the Nation. Reporter Bob Schieffer asked her if she knew of a time when there was so much trouble in so many different places. She said two huge game changers have affected recent events. One is the behavior of Russian President Vladimir Putin toward Ukraine. The other is what has been happening in the Middle East, starting with the political unrest known as the Arab Spring. She also noted what she called the artificiality of the borders that were established after World War I. The conflict in Ukraine has been in the news almost daily since the shooting down of Malaysian Airlines Flight 17 last month. All 298 people on the airplane were killed. The same day, the Israeli military launched a campaign against Hamas supporters in the Gaza Strip. Since then, more than 1,000 people have died in the fighting. The war in nearby Syria has displaced millions of people. Thousands of Central American children have entered the United States illegally and without their parents. Add to that the religious violence in Iraq. So some would say the world does appear to be a mess at the present time. Micah Zenko is a senior fellow at the Council on Foreign Relations in Washington, D.C. He says many people believe that the world is either on fire or facing chaos or spinning out of control. He thinks technology and social media are driving news reports on the conflicts. He notes the influence of broadcasters like CNN.
Part of this is because it is so vivid, the imagery and the concerns and the instability, and this is now translated in real time, not just as they used to call the CNN effect, but it's sort of the CNN effect on steroids, which is to say journalists, activists, researchers in conflict-prone countries can place images of suffering, of damage, and they can appear on your Twitter feed, on your Facebook post sort of instantly. And so it's in not just real time, but sort of immediacy that allows us to connect with suffering in a way that we don't see in terms of positive news stories.
The Council on Foreign Relations lists 33 conflicts on a part of its website called the Global Conflict Tracker. Reports about these conflicts have appeared in news media over the past 6 months. Micah Zenko says the world has experienced other periods of chaos or unrest. The issue, he says, is that positive or good news does not get reported. He notes the drop in the number of child deaths and progress in fighting diseases like polio. He says people are living longer than their parents did, and generally have better health. He also notes the spread of democracy around the world. And that's In the News from VOA Learning English. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Now, the special English program, American Stories. Welcome to the fourth and last part of our program, A Princess of Mars. The story is from a series of books by Edgar Rice Burroughs. Last week, we told how John Carter observed a fierce battle between the green Martians and a race of red human-like creatures. He also saw the beautiful Princess Deja Thoris being captured after the battle. A short time later, John Carter, the princess, and their friend, the green Martian woman Sola, attempt to escape rather than face death. The princess and Sola must flee while John Carter tries to slow the green warriors who are chasing them. John Carter continues to tell what happens in Edgar Rice Burroughs' story, A Princess of Mars.
The huge green warrior Tars Tarkas came slowly toward me with his thin sword. I backed away. I did not want to fight him. I did not wish his death. He had been as kind to me as a green Martian can be. As I stood watching him, a rifle fired in the distance. Then another. And another. Tars Tarkas and his warriors were under attack from another tribe of green warriors. Within seconds, a terrible battle raged. As I watched, three of the attackers fell on Tars Tarkas. He killed one and was fighting with the other two when he slipped and fell. I ran to his aid, swinging my sword. He was on his feet. Shoulder to shoulder, we fought against the attackers. They finally withdrew after an hour of fierce fighting.
John Carter, I think I understand the meaning of the word friend. You saved my life when I was about to take yours. From this day, you are no longer a captive among our people, but a leader and great warrior among us.
There was a smile on his face. Once again, he took off a metal band from his arm and gave it to me.
I have a question for you, John Carter. I understand why you took the Red Woman with you. But why did Sola leave her people and go with you?
She did not want to see me or the princess harmed. She does not like the great games held by your people where captives are led to die. She knows if she is caught, she too will die in the games. She told me she hates the games because her mother died there.
What? How could she know her mother?
She told me her mother was killed in the games because she had hidden the egg that produced her. Her mother hid Sola among other children before she was captured. Sola said she was a kind woman, not like others of your tribe. Tars Tarkas grew angry as I was speaking, but I could see past his anger. I could see pain in his eyes. I immediately knew Sola's great secret. I have a question for you, Tars Tarkas. Did you know Sola's mother?
Yes, and if I could have, I would have prevented her death. I know this story to be true. I have always known the woman who died in those games had a child. I never knew the child. I do now. Sola is also my child.
For 3 days, we followed the trail left by the Princess Deja Torres, Sola, and poor, ugly Wula. At last, we could see them in the distance. Their animal could no longer be ridden. They were talking. When we came near, Wula turned to fight us. I slowly walked to him with my hand out. Sola was standing nearby. She was armed and prepared to fight. The princess was lying next to her feet. Sola, what is wrong with the princess?
She has been crying much these past few days, John Carter. We believed you died so we could escape. The thought of your death was very heavy on this woman, my friend Deja Thoris. Come and tell her you are among the living. Perhaps that will stop her crying.
I walked to where the Princess Deja Thoris was lying on the ground. She looked at me with eyes that were red from crying. Princess, you are no longer in danger. Tars Tarkas has come with me as a friend. He and his warriors will help to see you safely home. And Sola, I would have you greet your father, Tars Tarkas, a great leader among your people. Your secret no longer means death to anyone. He already knows you are his daughter. The two of you have nothing to fear. Sola turned and looked at Tars Tarkas. She held out her hand. He took it. It was a new beginning for them.
I know our world has never before seen anyone like you, John Carter. Can it be that all Earthmen are like you? I was alone, a stranger, hunted, threatened. Yet you would freely give your life to save me. You come to me now with a tribe of green warriors who offer their friendship. You are no longer a captive, but wear the medal of great rank among their people. No man has ever done this.
Princess, I have done many strange things in my life, many things much smarter men would not have done. And now, before my courage fails, I would ask you to be mine in marriage. She smiled at me for a moment, and then her dark eyes flashed in the evening light.
You have no need of your courage, John Carter, because you already knew the answer before you asked the question.
Several days later, we reached the city of Helium. At first, the red men of Helium thought we were an attacking army. But they soon saw their princess. We were greeted with great joy. Tars Tarkas and his green warriors caused the greatest excitement. This huge group of green warriors entered the city as friends and allies. I soon met Tardos Mors, the grandfather of Deja Thoris. He tried several times to thank me for saving the life of the princess, but tears filled his eyes, and he could not speak.
F-
For 9 years, I served in the government and fought in the armies of Helium as a prince of the royal family. It was a happy time. The Princess Deja Thoris and I were expecting a child. Then, one day, a soldier returned from a long flight. When he landed, he hurried to the great meeting room. Tardos Mors met with the soldier and reported that every creature on the planet had but 3 days to live. He said the great machines that produced the atmosphere on the planet had stopped producing oxygen. He said no one knew why this had happened, but there was nothing that could be done. The air grew thin within a day. Many people could do nothing but sleep. I watched as my princess was slowly dying. I had to try something. I could still move with great difficulty. I went to our airport and chose a fast aircraft. I flew as fast as I could to the building that produced the atmosphere of the planet. Workers were trying to enter. I tried to help. With a great effort, I opened a hole. I grew very weak. I asked one of the workers if he could start the engines. He said he would try. I fell asleep on the ground. It was dark when I opened my eyes again. My clothing felt stiff and strange. I sat up. I could see light from an opening. I walked outside. The land looked strange to me. I looked up to the sky and saw the red planet Mars. I was once again on Earth in the desert of Arizona. I cried out with deep emotion. Did the worker reach the machines to renew the atmosphere? Did the air reach the people of that planet in time to save them? Was my Princess Deja Thoris alive, or did she lie cold in death? For 10 years now, I have watched the night sky, looking for an answer. I believe she and our child are waiting there for me. Something tells me that I shall soon know.
You have been listening to the special English program, American Stories. Shep O'Neill was the voice of John Carter. Steve Ember was Tars Tarkas. Barbara Klein was Sola. And Gwen Uten was Princess Deja Thoris. This story was adapted for Special English by Paul Thompson. It was produced by Paul Thompson and Mario Ritter. Listen again next week for another American story in VOA Special English.